MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Michael Lombardi in Jersey. I'm Patrick Maher here in Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM on VSiN, the sports betting network. So, Michael, we got the NBA back. Yes. Do you not find the Eastern Conference fascinating? You've got 12 teams in the mix. Remember, six automatically qualify, and then 7 through 10 with the play-in. So you don't want to be 7 through 10. And frankly, one of the favorites to win the championship right now in Brooklyn, they're sitting 8. So they're right now in a spot where they're going to have to play a play-in. But this is fascinating. The East is so much deeper than the West. 5 teams within 2.5 games of first place. Just 6 games separate 6th through 11th place. You know, if you want to throw the Knicks in, you've got 12 teams legitimately in the mix to make the postseason here in the NBA's Eastern Conference, Michael.
Yeah, and we don't even know, based on the health and injuries of other teams, you know, where's Brooklyn going to be? You know, where's Durant? The Celtics are the team, to me, that over the last 10 games have played the best. I mean, the Raptors are playing well, too. They're 8-2. They're the 7th seed right now. They've come a long way from where they started. And to me, the Celtics gone through that bumpy road, and their value to come out of this is pretty strong. You know, they've been very good. They had the blurb in the road when they lost to Detroit after a great win against Philadelphia. They lose to Detroit. But to me, I think they're a dangerous team. And like you said, this thing is all upside down. Last year, the Hawks made it to the conference final, and now they're the 10th seed. So, you know, it's a hard conference to handicap because there's so many moving parts. What's Philly going to look like when Harden gets steps on the court tomorrow night in Minneapolis? You know, what's their team going to look like? I mean, the fact that they're 12 games over 500 to me is somewhat remarkable that they've been able to play this well with missing so many players. But the same can be said for Chicago. Same can be said for Miami.
Well, I want to cap that Boston game coming up tonight in Brooklyn, but just quickly on Philly. So right now I've got Philly, and again, these odds are going to differ book to book. I've got Philly about 3.5 to come out of the East, 3.5 to 1, so plus 350. And then the title odds sitting around 6.5 to 7 to 1 for Philly. But you just nailed it. How is Harden going to fit with Simmons? I mean, this is he's so ball dominant, and that ball has to go through your boy, the big Embiid, because he's playing remarkably well. So just the continuity and as far as how those two are going to mesh together with the two-man game is going to be fascinating in Philly.
No, I think there's no doubt. And then where does he fit defensively? You know, how does that all play out? I think that's also the issue, you know, because we've seen there's video clips of him on YouTube not playing an ounce of defense. So how does that all work out? And, you know, where does Maxey, who's a really good player,
yes,
in the Young Star tournament, where does he fit into this? You know, and are they going to be able to space the court? I mean, the numbers are staggering when they put 4 shooters on the court with Embiid, you know, in the court space, and he can do what he can do. So, look, Embiid's is at the three-point line as much as anybody. He's out there as well. So it isn't like he's a ball-dominant, low-post player. He's out there trying to, you know, create shots out there on the wing as well. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, how it works out. You know, they signed Cully Stein to a 10-day contract to be the backup center. Where does that go? You know, there was some talk that they were going to be in this buyout market. That hasn't happened yet.
So You got a guy in Harden, usage off the charts, ball dominant, and they've got 24 games to figure it out. That's what, you know, it's interesting. We kept on talking about we're 75% of the way through the association season. I kind of love this little stretch coming out of the All-Star break because there's so much on the line as far as seeding and who's in and who's out. Let's quickly take a look. You mentioned Boston at Brooklyn. This number's jumped up to 9 with Boston laying it and 214.5. Michael's been all over Boston, and that's for good reason. They headed into the break winners 11 of their last 13. They had that 9-game win streak that they snapped, a loss against Detroit, which is wild. But during that stretch of 13 games, they've been absolutely dominant. And that 9-game stretch, 6 wins by doubles. And in that 9-game winning streak, the Celtics held 7 opponents under 100 points. So they're great on offense right now, and they're defending their asses off, the Celtics.
They're one of the best teams in the last 2 weeks defensively. They are defending like crazy. Overall, they're number 2 in the league in terms of defensive numbers. So, you know, and their offense over the last few weeks has improved. They're 14th. But when you break them down over the season, you know, their numbers have been very impressive. They have been very impressive, and they're coming together as a team. And, you know, for all the disconnect that they had earlier in the year, Brown getting traded, Tatum, how does it all fit? You know, they have played well, and I think that they certainly have kind of found themselves over the last 10 weeks. And well, it's been interesting to see tonight if that trend continues as they move forward, because they found their niche. There's no doubt. Other than the stubbing their toe against the Pistons, they found their niche. I mean, you know, they got the big man inside. You know, he almost has 10 rebounds a night in Robert Williams. And, you know, they're getting great production out of Tatum and Brown. So, you know, I think ultimately this is a team that's going to be tough to deal with.
Well, I think, you know, I was watching a Celtic game last week. I can't remember who it was against, but I just noticed the difference. They had such great ball movement as opposed to just isolation play, you know, with Tatum and Brown. They had great ball movement. They're the second best rebounding team in basketball. You mentioned the defense has been great, and they're going to get Robert Williams back tonight. The big, who missed a couple of games because of the calf.
Yep.
I think that's important against the Nets team that's completely depleted. And the pickup at the trade deadline kind of went under the radar. Derek White gives you instant offense.
Really good. I mean, really good. Started one game in the 4 that he's played so far, you know, and he can put the ball in the basket. He shoots well. His numbers are impressive. I think that was Harden and Simmons got all the publicity on the trade, Porzingis trade, all that, Porzingis, you know. But this Derek White trade, to me, was significant for the Celtics. There's no doubt.
They're actually getting good minutes from Horford, too. You know, a leader.
Yeah, and his role. I mean, that's, you know, the Sixers paid him for a role that he couldn't play in. You know, and who's going to turn down the money when you get that much money thrown at you to play in a role? So he was playing in a role this is the perfect role. You know, he's playing 20 minutes a night. He plays some 5. He plays some 4 when they need him to, but he's not always – he doesn't have to guard guys. You know, he can go guard Embiid as opposed to guarding some of these more athletic 4s. You know, it was just – when you looked at that, Harris was playing out of position, Horford was playing out of position, and frankly, Simmons was playing out of position because he was the point guard, but he couldn't shoot. So they had 3 guys playing out of position of the starting 5.
I don't generally feel bad for the bookmakers, but there are 2 games, and we're going to start with the Hawks-Bulls, 2 games where you can't set the total, the over-under, high enough tonight. So they're sitting at 240, Atlanta at Chicago, for good reason. Let me set this up for you, Michael. It's the 2 best 3-point shooting teams in the league, Hawks 1, Bulls 2. The Bulls are on a 5-game win streak where they've averaged 121.2 points. The Hawks coming into this one on a 2-game win streak where they averaged 127 points. So these are 2 teams. You can't stop them. I mean, both effective field goal percentage teams. These are 2 teams that can light it up offensively.
You know, and the last time they played, the Bulls won 131-117, which clearly went over the number. You know, and when you look at the last 10 games between these two teams, both they're 6-4 on the over. So obviously, you know, again, Chicago, you're always concerned about their health. You're always concerned about where are they going. You know, who's on the court? Is everybody playing? Is LaVine playing? I mean, who's all healthy and all that? But to me, this is with Trae Young and the Hawks. They got to get going here. I mean, Nate McMillan's got to get his team going here because they're right now the 10th seed.
Yep.
You know, and they've got to get going, and we haven't seen that spike. I mean, the last 5 games they're just 5-5. They've kind of got to get it going a little bit, and it starts with them putting the ball in the basket on a more consistent basis. Their defense, you know, they give up 110 points a night, so they've got to be able to shoot much better.
No, you nailed it. And by the way, Atlanta's sitting 10 right now. They're only a game up on Washington for that last play-in. So, and back to Michael's point, we got a 240 total tonight, Hawks at Bulls. These two teams played twice in late December in a home-and-home, and Chicago won both. First on the road, Chicago beat Atlanta 130 to 118, so over this posted total tonight. And then they beat the Hawks at home in Chicago 131-117, well over. First off, they covered in both. There's a three number tonight, and they went well over the posted total of 240. You can't set it high enough.
No, because both defenses give up 46% shooting from the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you're close to 50% giving up defensively, you know, and they both shoot really well. Now, the Bulls shoot 48% from the floor. So that means the ball's going in the bucket. There's no misses, you know, and so they're going to just be able to do that. And I think, you know, this is a moment where I think the Hawks have to play in the last 10 weeks. I mean, the last 10 games, you know, they average giving up 111. The last 10 weeks, they've given up 114. That they're actually getting worse on defense.
Yep, better on offense, worse on defense. Michael, a big get for Chicago tonight, Zach LaVine returns. Remember.
Yeah, that's the key, right?
He returns. He played in the All-Star game. He missed before the break a bunch of games, but he played in the All-Star game, so he's back ready to go tonight. It's a very interesting team because they don't have a ton of size. So come playoff time, I think the Bulls are going to be overvalued. But tonight, laying three with LaVine returning and DeRozan on an absolute heater. He's the first player in NBA history to score 35 or more and shoot 50% or better from the field in seven straight games. The first player ever to do it, and he comes into tonight with that streak alive.
Yeah. I mean, and look, the number's 240. You almost think, how does it keep – it opened at 34, Patrick.
Well, we got two 240s on the board. When we come back, I want to do Memphis and Minnesota.
But that one opened at 39. This one – I mean, this is just getting bet up. I think at some point, if you're betting the 240, you're getting the worst of the number. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, you nailed it. No, you're right. It opened 234.5. It's all the way up to 240.5 at a couple of shops. So that, and then Memphis and Minnesota, we're going to get to that coming back. Open 239, sitting 240. Michael, I was pouring through Minnesota's numbers this morning. They're a miraculous team. That Jenkins should get some Coach of the Year looks. Now, Monty Williams is going to win it, but Minnesota's numbers, when we come back, we have to talk about this team. They're playing a pretty good Memphis's numbers are insane. And they're playing a pretty good
Durant,
Minnesota team.
Durant's so much fun to watch. Oh, he's so much fun to watch, though.
Ja Morant. They're a young team, but they're well coached. They play their asses off. And as you mentioned, Ja Morant is a legit superstar. We'll come back. Memphis, Minnesota next here at Lombardi Line.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
for someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, if you missed any part of our show today here on The Lombardi Line, VSiN, again, you can check out the podcast, VSiN.com/podcast. Stay up to date with our free podcast. All the shows are there, including The Lombardi Line, which can be found wherever you download your podcast. You can get Coast to Coast with Greg Hoops Peterson. Also, JVT, we're just talking NBA. It's all there, so make sure you check it out. Josh, who's going to join us next, his podcast is up there. Follow the Money, My Guys in the Desert. It's all free. VSiN.com/podcast. Michael Lombardi there in Jersey. If this wasn't a 76er show, it'd be a Memphis Grizzlies show. Because let me just lay out a couple of things for you. First off, they've got the best ATS record in basketball. They're 40-20, mm-hmm. which is insane. They're covering an absurd 66.7% of the time. They lead the league in scoring. They're tied with Charlotte in scoring. They also lead the league in rebounding, steals, and blocks. They're a handful. They, over the last 15 games, offensively, efficiency-wise, they've been off the charts. This is, and it's not a team that started the first couple of weeks great. So think about what they've done, Memphis. I mean, they've been awesome.
No doubt. I mean, and, you know, 41-19 over the season. You know, their numbers, when you go through, you know, all the data, are impressive in terms of the last 2 weeks and during the season. I mean, the last 2 weeks on defense, they're the 14th best team defensively. They're the 7th best offense. But overall, you know, they're sixth at five on offense and 8th on defense. I mean, and Morant is able to create a shot, and the supporting cast has been outstanding around him. And, you know, whether it's Bain, you know, whether it's, you know, whether it's anyone else that plays in there with them. I mean, Brooks, the name I was looking for was Dylan Brooks, who I think is really good. And Jackson, I mean, to me, you know, this is, and I think Adams gives them that dominant is the wrong word again. I mean, he gives them that steady inside presence, the physicality that they need when they play against some of the big teams that they have to face. They're really well, I think they're well designed and well crafted.
I think they're put together really well. I like the way you put that. Also, since Christmas, Memphis has covered 21 of 27 games. They've been awesome on the road as well. They're 22-8 ATS on the road. They head on the road tonight out of the All-Star break, take on the T-Wolves. Let's talk about Minnesota. Minnesota just 4-5 ATS in this spot as a home favorite this year. So this is a point to the Grizzlies. This number open too. Little surprised to see it get bet down to 1.5 with the Grizzlies laying it, Michael.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think the untold story, I mean, as good as Memphis is this year, and there's no doubt that they're really good. But when you go break down some of Minnesota's numbers, when you look at them and say, where are they? You know, and you know, where do they rank? And point differential, they rank 12th. You know, their win differential is only 26, but then some of their other numbers are really good, especially when you look at the spread differential and their losses and wins. And so they're a little bit more of a surprising team than you think. And they're 7-3 over the last 10 games. You know, and they've been able to get consistent play. They're a little dysfunctional because you know that they were kind of, you know, with D'Angelo and all the players that they have on their team, you kind of think, you know, your guy who wins the three-point contest, Carl Anthony Towns and, you know, Russell and all these personalities. But they've done a good job of coming all together this year with Anthony Edwards, D'Angelo Russell, Towns, and, you know, even Beasley coming in off the bench. To me, I think you can't not neglect the numbers that they put up. This is not what usually we're used to on a Minneapolis team.
No, you just mentioned it. And Edwards, by the way, he was dealing with the ankle before the All-Star break. He's rested. He's going to be healthy. And offensively, Minnesota's been great. They've taken a step back a little bit defensively. They've got a really good coach. It's a team that nothing was expected of them this year. So to be contending right now and for a playoff spot, that's huge for Minnesota.
No doubt. No doubt. And I mean, you know, they're young players like Edwards, and we, you know, they're getting production out of those guys. And, you know, nobody wanted to touch Russell when they took him, you know, because he's a live wire off the court, maybe perhaps on the court as well. But to me, you've got to give the coach credit for really being able to come through and put this team together. And you know, where they are, they're above 500. They're in a playoff run. I think it's actually one of the untold. Nobody really would really. If you ask somebody on the street, you know, what's going on, you know, how they doing, you would say, oh, well, you know, they're probably either going to be picking in the lottery. No, that's not the case.
No, and you mentioned Chris Finch, who's done a hell of a job. I think these are two teams. We can throw the Cavs in there as well. The Cavs have been a great story in the East, specifically. It's a great conference. But the Grizzlies and T-Wolves may be, outside of the Cavs, the two teams that are kind of under the radar. And it and I saw a great quote from Beverly today about the T-Wolves, because they're sitting seven, so they're in the playoff scenario. But he said, look, we're not satisfied with just making the postseason in the play-in scenario. We want to get up to six. And remember, six qualify. Denver is sitting six right now. Minnesota's just 2.5 back. So plenty to play for.
No doubt. And, I mean, the last time they played was in the middle of January, and the Grizz won 116-108. But then they played back early in the season in November, and the Timberwolves, you know, put 138 on them. This is when the Grizz weren't playing as well. So, you know, this will be a perfect opportunity to see how far they've gone, you know, especially since Memphis opened the season 9-10. Think about that, Patrick.
Yeah.
They opened up 9-10.
That's right. That's right. They didn't have a great start to the year, and here they are sitting seven at 31-28. What's interesting about Memphis, so I mentioned just any metric you want to look at, they've been awesome this year. As far as the best scoring team in basketball, when they score 120-plus, which happens a lot for Memphis, they're 19-0 when they score 120-plus. So they're going to defend as well. Best ATS team, Memphis, in basketball, as I mentioned. I was a little surprised when I saw it sitting two on the board. I thought it might jump up to 2.5, but it's gone the other way, down to 1.5.
You know, I think a lot of it has to do with, in the last 15 games, Minnesota's had the best offense efficiency. And with Edwards back, I think when they left, when the Timberwolves kind of went into the All-Star break, they had played seven games in 11 days. So they were tired, fatigued. Edwards sprained his ankle right before the break against Toronto and missed that. So I think now that they're healthy, I think that their offensive efficiency, they can keep pace with Memphis. And I think this is why it's up to 240. And I think ultimately that's why the line has come down.
100%. We mentioned, you know, Memphis, even on the road, ATS-wise, they've just been awesome. I mean, it's a fascinating team, and they're young, too. I mean, these are actually two young teams, if you take a look at Memphis and Minnesota.
What's the number for them to come out of the West? I mean, they may be a good number. Memphis, what's their number to come out of the West?
I'll give it to you right now. But with that core that you mentioned with Brooks and Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. and Desmond Bain in his second. Bain has taken a big step in his second year.
Huge.
There's the number. Huge. NBA Western Conference odds, 12-1. So your betting favorites, plus 175, the Warriors. The Suns, plus 190, essentially the same. The Jazz are 6-1, and the Grizzlies are 12-1. I'll tell you right now, I think 6-1 on the Jazz is throwing money away, and I think the Grizzlies is interesting at 12-1.
You want to throw money away? 16-1 on the Lakers. That's a St. Jude's pick right there. You throw that money away.
Why are the Lakers even on that board?
Like, why are they there? Why are the Clippers at 50-1? The Lakers are only 16-1. I mean, the Mavericks are better than the Lakers. They play better. They're at 20-1. I wouldn't bet the Mavericks. I'm not suggesting that. But at 12-1 for the Grizz, I think that's a pretty good play.
I agree.
You know, just like I think the Celtics at 8-1 is a good play. I mean, if you're going to make a little bit of money, you got to get some good numbers for you. And I think those two teams have good numbers. I'm not saying they're going to ultimately do it, but you're going to have to hedge your bet a little bit.
You just mentioned the Lakers, who are sitting 9 in the West right now, right? But they're what? They've got AD out for 4 weeks. They're going to somehow try to stay alive in the play-in scenario. You know, San Antonio, New Orleans could potentially chase them down. Portland's playing good basketball. Lakers could miss
Portland,
the postseason.
Since the trade has been really good.
Portland's
Simmons
been very
been outstanding.
Good.
They've been outstanding. Well, they got Golden State tonight. Now, it'll be a tough one for them. They host them at home. But to me, they've played much better since their big trade, getting rid of CJ and kind of revamping their roster.
Well, think about, Michael, what Portland did heading into the All-Star break. They beat Milwaukee at Milwaukee. And then they beat Memphis at Memphis heading into the break. Those are two of the Trailblazers, who prior to the trade deadline had been playing horribly. they go to Milwaukee and to Memphis, two of the best teams in basketball, and beat them. And Portland's sitting right now 10 in the last play-in scenario. You've been all over that. You were talking about that team heading into the All-Star break.
Yeah, I mean, look, they have – you got to give them – I mean, they kind of adjusted to it. You know, sometimes when you make a trade, you think the locker room's going to fall apart. But I think they wanted to make room for Simmons to kind of show his skill and let him come out, and I think he's done a great job with that.
Yep, and you mentioned Golden State at Portland. So Portland's hosting the Warriors tonight. And Golden State opened 7. It's been bet up to 10. I'm going to have to check the actives to see why such a jump. But 7 bet up to 10, Golden State at Portland tonight.
Yeah, I mean, look, the one thing I will say, Portland, you know, the Simmons, he scored basically, he's averaged 30 points, 51% from the floor, and 47 from 3 points. So when they made that trade, they opened the door for him. There's no doubt.
The Lakers coming out of the West at 16-1. That is the epitome of a St. Jude's pick. There's no other way around that.
No
doubt. I do like Memphis at 12-1, like you. Coming back with Josh Applebaum here, Lombardi Line.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, before you make your next bet, go to vsin.com. Has everything you need. Latest betting splits on every game. Find out which games are seeing the most tickets written. Odds, data, analysis for every game. Start your next sports bet at vsin.com. Make some, first, just go bookmark it right now. vsin.com. Michael Lombardi in Jersey. I'm Patrick Maher here in Vegas. Dez is here, which means we're either off the air or definitely on the air. She ran in here. She was freaking out. Good to see Dez, though. And also good to see Josh Applebaum. Market Insights is the pod, vsin.com/podcast. Hi, Josh. How are we feeling today, man?
Hey, Patrick. Hey, Michael. Feeling great today. Obviously, guys, big news. The NBA is back. So we were done with that long All-Star break. We now have action tonight again. 7 games overall. So let's go through a couple games in the NBA. Got a couple in college if we can hit on that later. NHL, we'll see if we have time. But the first one that caught my eye, the Celtics and the Nets tonight, guys. Number one, you got a lot of guys out for the Nets. Obviously, Durant's still out. Kyrie's still out. Simmons, we're waiting on him. So it's kind of a squad here missing a bunch of their guys. You saw a huge steam move here toward the Celtics. Celtics open as low as like a 3 or 4 point favorite on the road. They've been bet up all the way to -9 right now. The last time these teams played, it was a blowout for Boston, 126-91. I'm not really comfortable laying the 9 right now. You're kind of getting the worst of the number. What I'm interested, guys, is the total. You saw some money hit this over. The total opened around 213.5, has been bet up to now 214.5. So you got a little bit of money hitting this over. Couple analytics plays here to the over. Both these teams are top 15 in offensive efficiency. The Celtics are 15. The Nets are 11. The Nets are also one of the top 10 teams in terms of pace and tempo. And really what you're banking on, guys, to me, is the Celtics continuing to play this good offensive basketball since adding Derek White. You're seeing this line go big to Boston. So does that mean, you know, like that other game, 126-91, they put up a ton of points to help you cash this over against a Nets squad missing some of their guys? That's what I'm banking on. So Brooklyn, 6-1 to the over their last 7. The over is 5-1, the last 6 head-to-head between these teams. I like the move to the Celtics. I just can't really endorse laying a 9 when it opened at 4. But give me the over here, guys. I'll take the over 214 or 214.5.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about the over. I mean, just because the way Boston has played defense. I mean, the last 2 weeks are the best defensive team in the NBA overall. Overall, you know, they're the second best defensive team in terms of the numbers on cleaning the glass. So that would make me a little nervous here, Josh.
It quickly.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Josh. 1 second on. Michael brought this up earlier. I just want to follow up because he's right. So New York City Mayor Eric Adams came out yesterday and said he's hoping the mandates start to phase out in New York, but it could be a couple 2 to 3 weeks where Kyrie then could play in Brooklyn. I just wanted to get that on the table. Josh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, Patrick, you're totally right. So you're kind of mentioning that. And also Eric Adams, he took a shot at people that work from home. He said you can't live in your pajamas all day and like you got to be out in the world. Like, what about those of us who do work at home? Like, give us some respect here. That's what I'm saying. But with the Nets, guys, to your point, you know, if you're looking towards some futures, the Nets are plus 600 to win the championship. Only the Suns and the Warriors have better odds. And then in the Eastern Conference, the Nets are the favorite or tied favorite here with the Bucks at plus 280. So just wanted to fit that in. But the other one, guys, keep an eye out tonight. Would be looking at the Suns and the Thunder. This is a play where I'm going to put on that hazmat suit, bet some Coke machines here with the Oklahoma City Thunder. what you've seen here is the Suns are still a big public play. They're getting like 60% of bets across the market. But the big thing is no Chris Paul. He's going to be out for a while. And if you look at the Thunder, they are getting Shai Gilgeous-Alexander back. So their star player is returning here. This game opens Suns on the road laying 10.5, even though they're getting a majority of bets. This line at one point kind of stayed at 10 or 10.5 down to 10. I would wait. I think you can probably get the hook if you wait this thing out. But this is one of your top contrarian plays of the night. Kind of some line freeze action here. And OKC, even though they have a really bad record, they're one of the best teams covering numbers. They tend to lose, but sometimes they tend to cover. 35-19 against the spread, second best in the NBA. And then also if you look at home, 15-9 against the spread. So do the Suns win? Probably. But with Chris Paul out and Gilgeous-Alexander in, I'll grab the 10.5. See if we can lose by 10 or less in this one, guys.
They're fun to watch. The Thunder are actually quite fun to watch. Presti's kind of a wizard there. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron gave him a huge praise. I mean, talked about the team, talked about how many good young players, Giddy and then Alexander, and Alexander coming back. I mean, you know, they certainly have a nucleus, and with all these draft picks, and they got a ton of cap room. I mean, they're still below the minimum, you know, and they didn't absorb any bad contracts at the trading deadline, which I kind of thought they might do just to get to the minimum.
Yeah, I mean, outside of Memphis is the best team. They're 40-20 ATS on the year, but Oklahoma City's your second best team as far as ATS. So 35-19-4, I think that's what you had, Josh, right, for Oklahoma City?
Exactly. And, you know, LeBron gave a shout out to OKC here, really playing this futures game with Presti. But I think they have like 24 first round picks over the next like 5 years. So it's kind of unbelievable here. And if you can hit on, to me, Giddy, and Michael mentioned this, but this kid is legit. I mean, he could be the next like Doncic type of player. He fills up the stat sheet. That could be, a draft pick that they hit on that could really, you know, brighten their future moving forward.
Well, you know, I think the other thing is, too, is which happens in football all the time with the Texans, and we saw the Lions particularly, is the book is kind of knowing that everybody wants to take the sure thing and bet against the Thunder, the line becomes inflated even more. And so there's a little bit of a tax you're paying, which is why I think they've covered, you know, 35 games and 35-19-4 in terms of their coverage. And look, their point differential, they give up 107. They don't play poor defense. I mean, there's some teams like the Hawks, they give up 112 a night the last 2 weeks. So they're at least competitive defensively.
Just as a note, your top five covering teams ATS-wise in the association this year: Memphis, a ridiculous 66.7 cover percentage, which is nuts. Oklahoma City, Cleveland, Chicago, and Toronto. Those are your top five. Josh, we'll transition to college. You want to go Horizon here? Where are you starting here in college hoops?
Yeah, we'll stay in the Horizon, Patrick. Talk one game that really caught my eye: Cleveland State and Detroit. So right off the bat, this looks like a pretty sharp line freeze. What I mean by that is everybody is betting Cleveland State here. How can you blame them? Cleveland State 19-7 on the year, really good record. You look at Detroit 12-13, they're below 500. So what really jumped out to me is the opening number. When you have a team that's way far better record here than the team that they're playing, why did Cleveland State only open as a 1.5 point favorite? And the thing is, you know, even though they opened 1.5, they didn't get hit. And you know, wise guys say, hey, that's too low. Let's, you know, steam it up to 2 or 2.5. The line stayed where it's at, open 1.5, stayed 1.5, even though heavy betting Cleveland State. And some of these 1.5s are actually trending down to 1 at some shops. So I grabbed the points there with Detroit. One of your top contrarian plays of the night. Again, a fishy number. Why is a 19-7 team only laying 1.5 on the road against a below 500 team? Detroit, pretty good at home, 7-0, undefeated this year. And our buddy Ken Pom, who ran the board, was crazy the other night. All 28 games straight up, he got right. He does have Detroit as a quote-unquote Ken Pom sound the alarm play. He has Detroit winning this game by 1 point. And by the way, Patrick, Detroit University, Mercy, any chances that you were going to go to college there growing up in Michigan?
The Titans, no. But what I will say is last Friday they beat Northern Kentucky 60-52. It's a good team in the Horizon. They beat Wright State coming into this. So Detroit's got a nice little run going. It is obviously Cleveland State, the best team in the Horizon, Michael, but Detroit's playing good ball.
Well, they got a point guard. You know, they got Anton Davis, the point guard. He's one of the best players in the conference. And when you have a point guard, you got a chance. You got a chance to, in college basketball particularly, to kind of do some things well. And I think that's pretty clear that's why they give them such an advantage. Now, they play Cleveland State, you know, in Cleveland back in middle of January, and it was a 2-point game. So it's not surprising that, you know, despite the records, I mean, when you look at this, it's not surprising, and as good as Davis is, you know, they've got a legitimate player going in there and playing at home. As Josh said, they're a good team at home.
Yep, 100%. Josh is digging deep with the college plays today. Mm-hmm. Next one up, we're going to go Idaho, Sactown, Sacramento State. So Sacramento State open 1.5. It's up to 2, Josh. Couple books, 2.5.
Yeah, guys, I always like these games that are like really low bet. Again, we joke about it all the time, but the public didn't wake up today saying, I got to bet Idaho and Sacramento State at 10 o'clock tonight. So kind of these games fly under the radar. But we know wise guys, they look at every single game on the board, comparing their numbers to what the odds makers have. And it doesn't have to be, you know, Duke, Kentucky or, you know, Duke, UNC. You know, you can cash a bet on Sacramento State the same as it would pay out, you know, with any other big name school here, Gonzaga or whoever you want to bet on. So what I like is this line movement towards Sacramento State. Sacramento State open as a 1.5 point favorite at home against Idaho. You've seen this line now get steamed up to pretty much around -2 across the board. A couple reasons to like Sacramento State. Our buddy Greg Hoops has them favored by 5. So Greg's been really good with his projections this year. Bit of an edge there. Also a bad ATS, good ATS play. Sacramento State's only 8-14 against the spread. So people who have bet them have lost money versus a good ATS team, Idaho, 16-8 against the spread. So kind of a buy low opportunity. Sacramento State's defense is much better, only giving up 71 a game versus Idaho, who gives up 81 a game. And another thing, guys, when you get to these home road splits, there's a lot of big discrepancy plays to bank on. Idaho, 1-10 on the road. They have not traveled. Give me Sacramento State on the money line to win the game.
Okay. I got to be honest, I don't have a follow-up on that game. So
I give you these weird ones?
No, we do love it. We do like going deep. I don't have a follow-up.
Sac State, the worst offense and all. You know, when you're betting the worst offense in the conference, you good luck. Hold your breath. Hold your breath. That's all I'll say.
Josh, 3.5-1 here at South Point on Gonzaga to win a championship. That's a wild number.
It really is. And you're seeing Chet Holmgren, too, guys, jump up these boards. Number one overall pick, probably him, Smith, Banchero. Holmgren's got to gain some weight, though, guys. Can we give him a couple pounds?
Shibwe is going to win the wood. But again, that Gonzaga is completely loaded. I think Timmy leaves after this year, his junior year as well. Josh, thank you. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Josh.
Appreciate it, guys.
Amal Shaw is next. What's he burning on today?
Oh,
we'll find out.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, tonight, you plus BetMGM means free $200. I'll tell you why. If you use the bonus code VSiN200, VSIN200 over at BetMGM tonight, simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any NBA game. Any team hits a three-pointer, you're going to win $200. It's paid for in free bets. It's for new bettors. And again, you also earn BetMGM reward points, you know, like your credit card, to be redeemed for online bonuses. Also, MGM resorts nationwide. So it's VSiN 200. Anybody hits a three tonight, $200 paid for in free bets for new customers. Please gamble responsibly. If you do have a gambling problem, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. Michael Lombardi in Jersey. I'm Patrick Maher here in Vegas. So as many of you know, Amal Shaw has a face for television. There's something called a face for radio. No, Amal has a face for TV. That's why we put him on the phone today. Amal Shaw, one half of Odds On, joins us. Amal, the moneymaker is your face, but we can't see it right now. Are you bummed out about that?
I am not, but I think it's probably better for the audience anyway.
How are you feeling? What are you burning on today? What's got you frustrated?
Nothing much, you know. I was actually kind of hoping you guys had something topical that would set me off, but not too much. I did like the fact that I saw you going into commercial break talking about Minnesota and Memphis, so whenever we say something idiotic on our show between Mike and I got something to go back at John Goulet with, our executive producer.
What did you like about Memphis, well, you know, Minnesota?
Because Michael, those are two hotbeds of big markets. You know, when you think about it, Memphis is when I think of TV markets, Memphis, Tennessee is what I think of.
I mean, so does FedEx. I mean, to think about it, but I don't understand the point here. Like, they're in the NBA, where just because they're in a small market, we shouldn't talk about them. I don't understand it.
Well, listen, hold on a second. That comes from David Stern. Small markets don't give you ratings in the NBA Finals. That's why you can't have the Sacramento Queens in there. If it was the Kings, which should have been in there, they didn't allow that to happen. 27 free throws in the fourth quarter. You remember Game 6 of the Western Conference Finals? You know, you can throw elbows in the face of Mike Bibby, no problem.
Yeah, no, I think that's one of the greatest injustices of all time. I mean, you go back and listen, there's a great podcast called Whistleblower, which covers this, that whole season with the official Tim McConaughey and all that. It's powerful, and the evidence you just cited there is even more so. And the referee in that game, I think was it Jake Lamont? Who was the referee? Jake, I forget his last name.
Dick Pivetta.
Dick Pivetta, that's right. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I would.
Well, my favorite thing was... Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Ma. Please.
Just real quick, I always loved that on Donahue's case, Stern would go, well, you know, he's a convicted felon. I'm like, hey, Stern, how do you think everybody else is sitting in prison? 90% of the testimony is coming from other convicted felons.
Yeah.
Maul is on one today. I don't know. I might disagree. I think Adam Silver would love to see a Cleveland Cavalier-Memphis Grizzly matchup in the finals this year. No, Amal?
Well, he'd have to get approval from LeBron first, and then we could see if we could allow that to happen.
That's true. Very true.
How about the power play true. LeBron is – how about Amal, the power play LeBron is using leverage against all the association teams to play with his son? He's essentially saying, I'm a free agent. Wherever my son goes, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Patrick, that's a great point you brought up, because I was actually looking at something, guys, this morning in terms of Bronny James. I haven't really followed much of his career over at Sierra Canyon in Los Angeles. But I understand he's a junior, and he's rated in the top 50 recruits for the junior class. But somebody made a great point. Players that are one and done, generally 94% of the players drafted, I think, in the first round were five stars if they're a one and done candidate. So he's not a five-star candidate at this point in time. For people that are unfamiliar with that, that's a rating system that's given out to high school recruits. Obviously, five stars being the best. Generally, you get about 20 to 25 of those types of players a year. And so he's somewhere probably a little bit below that tier. Look, I'm sure he's a terrific young player. I'm just not sure, is he an NBA type of player? I have not seen him. I couldn't comment on that one way or the other.
But so let's transition to college basketball for a second.
Yeah.
Who's your sleeper team, Amal? I know Mike Palm loves Texas Tech. Who's your sleeper team in the tournament that you're looking at? And sleeper defined by not sleeper like UCLA was last year, but sleeper defined by somebody in the top 20 that you feel like could really make a hard run.
Well, I'm going to say this, Michael. I've been on Kentucky since December. And I can tell you right now, when Auburn was everybody's nearest and dearest, I say Kentucky's the best team in this conference. They may not win the league, but they're going to have the best run in March. I think they got a chance. I feel like, obviously, they're a prohibitive favorite. To me, you know, the ACC doesn't really have any teams to make a run. I think when you look at it, I think Oregon has the capability of putting some things together. Maybe if Dana Altman could just tell Will Richardson, when you're down 3 points, the objective is to shoot a three-point shot, not a two-pointer. But if they can get that ironed out, I think this team could maybe put some things together.
Hey, speaking of college hoops, your Buckeyes are in an impossible spot tonight in Illinois. Open six. I got a couple of books going to 6.5. They beat Indiana. And by the way, Amal, I think they should have lost that game Monday night in Columbus to Indiana. They gave up a bunch of offensive boards, bunch of second half points, an overtime win. But again, this is their third game since Saturday. They head to Illinois. Illinois rested. They beat Michigan State on Saturday. Do you have a lean here?
You got to look at the Illini. I think this team has gone underrated because simply when they lost Io DeSunmu to the NBA, people didn't think they'd be able to perform at that level offensively. Now, Trent Frazier, during his tenure in Champaign, has regressed. But Plummer has been outstanding. Curbelo's been great. And then we know what Kofi Coburn's been able to do for this team. So I agree with the line move here, Patrick, in terms of going up with the Illini. They've been tremendous at home outside of that hiccup that they had against Arizona. But no shame in losing to the Wildcats. I know, Patrick, in the segment earlier I heard, you didn't mention Arizona as a team. I think this Wildcats team is going to be a tough out, as long as Kirk Karisa doesn't have one of his performances that he had at Pauley Pavilion earlier this year.
Yeah. I agree with you on Arizona, and I agree with you on Kentucky. I think that those are two teams that are kind of a little bit, based on the futures market, a little undervalued, especially when, you know, you see that Arizona isn't in the A class that UCLA jumped into the A class, even though Arizona's only had two losses in the conference and leads the conference. So I think you're right. I mean, I think Kentucky is at 8. Isn't it still 8-1? I think those are good numbers to get. That's really good, because I think in the next 2 weeks that number's going down to 3-1, 2-1. I think it's going to be a different challenge at that point.
If Wheeler's healthy, Patrick, Michael, and Ty Washington, this team becomes dangerous. Because remember one thing that I think people overlook with this team: they've got three upper class transfers. Colin Gray was outstanding in his career at Davidson. Wheeler comes in from abomination of a program that Tom Crean runs down in Georgia, and he was smart to transfer to Kentucky, and we've seen the difference it's made on their offense. And then Oscar Tshiebwe, who's probably going to be the National Player of the Year. I mean, is there a better superstar you can ask for on a team than Oscar Tshiebwe? He's going to go get through the dirty work, going to get put back points, obviously clean up the glass, defend for years, do everything you need, but also not necessarily be demanding the basketball, just making winning basketball plays.
He's a linebacker. He should be playing football, Tshiebwe.
Yeah.
To your point about the backcourt there with Ty and also Baylor. Baylor's backcourt's going to get healthy as well. Baylor and Kentucky are going to get healthy in the backcourt and going to be dangerous, Amal.
Patrick, I said KU's going to win the regular season, but I said Baylor's going to make a deeper run than March in Kansas. I don't believe Kansas is quite as good as they perform necessarily. I think when they face off against elite teams, it's a mismatch. Obagi and Brown, when he can be consistent, can be dangerous. But I just don't like this team as much. I think they're good. Remy Martin's been in and out of the lineup. But for me, I'm with you. I think Baylor in March, the way they defend and they can shoot the ball at the perimeter, they can really be a dangerous out.
All right. Now, here's the question I've been waiting to ask all day. When I read it, when I heard it last night, that you came right to my mind. Amal.
Uh-oh.
Your reaction to Troy Aikman going to ESPN for over $17 million a year. I'd like to hear it. Patrick, step back. This could get dangerous.
Well, listen, my friend David Moulton is Troy's spotter. He thinks highly of Troy. I think Troy's a nice guy in my interactions with him whenever in Dallas media. But I'm going to tell you right now, when I'm watching Monday Night Football, particularly for the fans on the East Coast, they're not trying to go to bed at 9:30, Michael. Uh-oh. So why the hell are we putting Troy Aikman on there?
I saw that coming. I saw it coming, but it still worked. So you're not a huge fan of his broadcast style, that being Aikman, Amal.
Listen, I'm going to tell you, I didn't like Romo. When I covered Romo with the Cowboys, he was not exactly media-friendly, but he's tremendous in the booth. And I think Romo, as time goes on, it will be harder for him to be able to predict the plays, but it's a lot of fun, and I think he kind of brings out a little bit more looseness out of Jim Nantz. But between the wannabe comedian Joe Buck and Troy Aikman in the booth, it's just like, it's unbelievable. I'm like, come on, give me a break. This is a snooze fest here. He should change his name to Captain Obvious. They should replace him in those commercials for Travelocity.
I love it.
Wait, I agree.
I knew this is what we get.
I say I agree? I love Romo. I know people can't stand him. And Buck does do a broadcast like he's looking in a mirror, Michael, to be fair to what Amal just said. Buck likes to – he gets a little
Mitchell,
cutesy, doesn't he?
Mitchell!
Amal Shaw, Odds On is next. Who's there with you today? I think it's Mike Palm.
Us.
Is Mike Palm back?
He'll be showing up on your show for – Yeah, he'll be showing up on your show for 15 minutes since I did a segment today.
Okay. Thank you. Michael, good job with the broadcasting question.
Thanks, Amal.
There. That was awesome. Amal Shaw's coming out up next with Mike Palm. Michael, I'll see you tomorrow, okay? Have a good day.
Tomorrow, Patrick. Thank you, Patrick.
See you on Friday here at Lombardi Line. Odds on next, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.